Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to praise your name, and we pray that as we look into your word, you would continue to move our hearts, that our response to your word would be one of worship. Lord, thank you for revealing yourself, for revealing your plans, and thank you, Lord, even in your word, for so often giving us words to say to you. Would you help us to worship as we dwell on these words? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we are turning this evening to Romans 11, 33 to 36. Romans 11, 33 to 36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I think when we look at those verses, we're looking at some of the most familiar verses in the New Testament. I think for many of us, you've heard them in benedictions, like this morning. We recognize those as the school verse for Northumberland Christian School, so many of you have had to recite it weekly in English and Greek and sign language. It's probably familiar to all of you here. We have many songs based on those verses. I thought it was a little bit amusing the last time we had a staff banquet near the end of a school year for NCS, and they had invited a pastor to come and kind of speak to everyone, you know, encourage everybody at that banquet. And it was a pastor who was friendly to the school, but not really intimately connected to the school. He didn't know the school all that well, and he decided that just, you know, a verse that really reminded him of Christian education was Romans 11:36, and could we turn there and talk about that? And all of us were kind of looking at each other like, should we recite it in Greek? Should we? We know this verse very well, but I think sometimes it's the verses that are really familiar that we don't always stop and think about very carefully. So we look at these verses this evening, we recognize that they are just distilled praise. This is Paul breaking out in worship of God. Lots of passages in the Bible tell us things about God, and we can take those and translate them into worship. But right here, Paul is just overflowing in worship himself, praising God for his great works, for his wisdom. Well, this evening, I'd like us to do just two things. One is look at the things Paul is praising God for. So kind of make our way through these verses and remind ourselves of the wonderful things Paul is pointing to. And then more briefly, I want us to think of this as a call to live lives of praise. So let's look first at the things Paul is praising God for. Oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Focusing there on the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, as it's displayed in his working out of his providence, and particularly as it's displayed in his plans of salvation. Paul is pointing to God's ways, what he has accomplished. And Paul could easily there have sort of gone off into a wonderful account of God's ways in creation, his knowledge displayed there. Creation is a wonderful picture of God's power and wisdom. But that's not the main focus of Paul right here. The focus is on God's wisdom in salvation. Now, you wouldn't necessarily see that just looking at those three verses. The focus is there, is just the wisdom and knowledge of God. But if you recognize where this comes in the book of Romans, you see what's gotten Paul so excited. This comes at a wonderful point. We can think in our minds, perhaps, through the book of Romans, and near the beginning of the book, we have the wonderful description of human lostness in sin, but God sends his Son, and we have the beautiful description of the gospel in the first couple of chapters of Romans. Paul continues in Romans talking about our life in Christ, life in the Spirit, what that looks like. Comes to Romans 9, talks about God's sovereign choice of those who believe. And then if you look just here at chapter 11, you see that Paul is talking about God's work in the people of Israel. So at the beginning of chapter 11, we get the remnant of Israel. The Gentiles then are grafted onto that same root. Paul ends this chapter before the benediction, pointing to the mystery of Israel's salvation. It seems that God has a plan to bring the people of Israel gloriously into the kingdom of God through Jesus. And it's really there, I think, in response especially to what he's talking about, that Paul is overwhelmed with praise at the thought of this awesome plan of God being worked out over thousands of years, Gentiles and Jews brought together, united. This the plan of God from before the beginnings of the world. It's not just a sort of, you know, oh, it's going to work out. God has a plan and he'll do it. Instead, it's Paul looking at that plan and saying it's an awesome plan. It's a plan that displays God's wisdom and knowledge. He can't hold back his praise as he thinks about the display of God's wisdom and knowledge in salvation. Have you ever been overwhelmed by the wisdom of God in salvation? By the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Sometimes it's easy for us to just kind of shrug and say, well, yeah, you know, God works it out somehow. Sometimes it's easy for us to have a very, very personalized view of salvation, right? Jesus saved me. And friends, that is a wonderful truth. We could praise God for that as well. We should praise God for his work in our own hearts. We can thrill to sing a song as simple as Jesus loves me, this I know. That's wonderful and personal and moving. And yet there's greater depths to the wisdom of God in salvation than just Jesus loves me. There's the depths of the plan that God is working out all through history. We love to see elaborate plans come together. As I was thinking about this, it prompted me to think of various kinds of entertainment where we like to see this. Who was it that said, I love it when a plan comes together? Famous line from the A-Team. Yes, indeed. The TV show, always some elaborate plan, and it always comes together, and there's a sense of satisfaction. We could think of the heist movies, where you're watching. God, I mean, they're probably bad because it's a heist, but they're usually stealing from someone even worse. And they have all kinds of elaborate plans how they're going to do this, and then it all works out in the end. And it seems so wonderful. Or we could think of strategy games, maybe. If you're involved in some complex strategy game and you have it all worked out ahead of time, how it's going to work out for you. And sometimes the other person messes it up, but sometimes they don't. And exactly your plan of how that was going to come about happens. We love it when there's some elaborate plan that works. I imagine that someone might feel this in a construction project, perhaps. I don't really know, but it seems like someone who's planned out this whole thing, this is where everything is going to go, and I'm going to set it up this way, and then it works. Think about the way God has set up his work of salvation. Think of the timing. God brings every stage of his plan to completion at just the right time. Think of the attention to detail, the string of promises, the string of prophets, his people learning more of what that salvation would look like from generation to generation, taught to look forward to the Messiah, and then the Messiah appears at just the right time. Think of the attention to detail God has displayed in his work of salvation in your life. He brought you into the world at this particular time and place. He cared for you as you grew. He prepared your heart to respond. He brought you within hearing of the gospel. Changed your dead heart to one of love for him through that message. He continues keeping you through dangers, toils, and snares. Now, we don't always understand why God does what he does. His judgments are at times unsearchable, his ways inscrutable. None of us can step in and make some helpful suggestions to God. I know you've gotten a lot of things right throughout the ages, but here are some suggestions about how you should be working right now. He doesn't need our advice on how salvation should really be worked out. He's done it. He is working out his salvation. And we look at his wisdom and knowledge praise him. Paul really sums up what God has done in verse 36, right? For from him and through him and to him are all things. From him, he's the one who produced all things. Through him, he's taken an active role in the creation of all things and in initiating our salvation. To him are all things. All things find their purpose and their fulfillment in God. That is such a sweeping and glorious claim. There is nothing in the world about which I could make those kinds of claims about myself. Imagine a birthday celebration. You know, everyone's celebrating on my birthday. Could I say, from me and through me? Nope, like right there. None of this was from me and through me. Be utterly ridiculous of me to say something like, to me is this day. You know, utter arrogance, silly arrogance. But for God, those things are true about all the world. All things are from and through and to him. The purpose of the entire world is his glory. Now, that could be a really terrible thing in some ways, right? Depending on what kind of God he was. Seeing that all things are to him, all things are about him, well, that kind of makes all of us sort of bit characters in this story, a story that's primarily about God. I mean, just think if you were to find out that you were all bit characters in my story. That'd be really disappointing, I think, to find out that. But finding out that all of us are bit characters in God's story, that this is all about him and we're part of that, intended to bring glory. That is a wonderful thing. It's a blessed thing to see those glorious truths about God. That's where I want us to begin. And in many ways, there's no getting beyond that. Seeing the glory of God, his riches and wisdom and knowledge. May we be continuously overwhelmed in the same way that Paul is as he dwells on those things. Well, our second point, really, is this. These verses are a call to us to live a life of praise. Now, on the one hand, you could look at this and say, well, you know, Paul does his little doxology, but then he kind of moves on from there. I mean, this isn't the end of the letter. He didn't just say, okay, well, that's it. Let's wrap this up and go home. There is more to this. But this is not the kind of praise that one just thinks about briefly, once, and then moves on. If this is praising God for his work of salvation, well, that is a continuous work in our lives. If we're praising God because he's the point of everything, well, as we continue through life, he continues to be the point of all that he has made. God is working his purposes out continually, wisely, with knowledge. His ways are beyond us, we're told. Inscrutable. When should we remember that? Well, particularly when we can't figure things out, when we can't understand what he's doing, our minds come back here to praise him. Called to remember day by day that all this universe, including me, is for him. That praise is my reason for being. In many ways, I think dwelling on those verses, living in light of those verses, is a way of having all of our lives be praise. Recognizing what God is doing and who he is and living joyfully in those truths. May we dwell on those truths and may our true sense be to him be the glory forever. Well, this is a familiar doxology. It's a good one to organize a school by. It's a good one to form your life around. May that be true of us, that we see the world around us and ourselves as here for the praise of his grace. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for revealing these things to us. And we pray that you would move our hearts, that we would rejoice in you. Lord, would you help us to be moved, to be overwhelmed by your plans of salvation, by the wisdom they reveal. Lord, we recognize that there are many throughout the world who could hear these same words and be utterly unmoved by them. Lord, help us not to be like that. Would you move our hearts to praise as we dwell on what you have accomplished and what you are accomplishing in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.